Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and today on the Strang Report, we're going to talk about the prophetic. We're also going to talk about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. These are things that you don't see operated, and also, sadly, there's a lot of flakiness out there in the body of Christ where people maybe misuse it. Well, today, we're going to talk to my friend and one of our authors, Hubie Sin, who has had a significant ministry in this area, and he's going to tell us stories that you'll find very interesting, some dealings where the Lord has opened up doors that he didn't even expect, even with some celebrities. So stay tuned for my conversation today with my friend Hubie Sin. Welcome back. And Hubie, thank you for taking time to be on my podcast. You've become a good friend, but you're also an author. And one of the things I want to do in our podcast today is to talk about the two books that you've written. The first one being The Tales of a Wandering Prophet, and the second one, Lessons from a Wandering Prophet. I have read both of these books. They're both excellent. But why don't we start by saying, why do they call you the Wandering Prophet?
I guess because I don't really have a destination sometimes. Actually, I was on a show once, and Jonathan and I were both on the show, and then they wanted me to...
Jonathan being Jonathan Kahn.
Jonathan Kahn, yes. And they wanted me to pray for some people, and then I just... the host basically just held out his arms like that, and I went down, and I kind of wandered through the crowd because there wasn't really... anything, like there wasn't an altar call or anything. So I just kind of went up to various people, and he coined me the Wandering Prophet. So that's kind of what happened.
Well, you know, there's whole segments of the church that believe prophecy is not for today, that God does not speak today. And then there's all kinds of debates on different kinds of prophets. And like I've done podcasts and books with prophets that are, thus saith the Lord, America's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and the Lord wants the church to wake up, and all, you know, things that are valid, of course, but your prophetic gift is more like hearing what God is saying and helping people to understand that, and so why don't we start, before we actually get into your story, by you explaining the kind of prophecy that you do, where the Lord will show that maybe a person is grappling with a problem,
right,
or maybe even something from their childhood, or it's you know, I've been with you in settings, and I've had you prophesy over me and my family, and it's almost always encouraging. So how is that different from the John the Baptist kind of prophesying in the wilderness with what did they say? What, honey and locusts or
yes,
something?
Yes.
And dressed in animal skins. You don't look the type. So.
There is scripture that says that we prophesy in part. And I kind of take that to mean, at least my interpretation is, it has many interpretations, but for myself, it's like there's different parts of different prophecies that people do. So a lot of people want me to comment on, let's say, where the country's going. I don't do that. That's not what I do. A lot of people want me to prophesy about current events. That's not what I do. Mine is more of a personal type of prophecy, and it's kind of mixed in with words of knowledge.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Right.
And that's a gift, one of the gifts of the Spirit, that we don't hear much about.
Yes.
In the typical church. Fairly rarely would there be a word of knowledge, although sometimes if a leader or a pastor or others are saying something that ministers to people, it's a word of knowledge whether they call it or not.
Right.
But that's really what you do.
Yes.
You really give people a word of knowledge, often confirming what God is saying to them personally. Isn't that right?
Yes. And I think that because I was, quote, raised in the kids' church of teaching the kids, that's kind of the kind of prophecy that I do, that it kind of trained me to do what I do, because the words that come through me when I'm doing it, it's very individual, and I have to sit there and pay a lot of attention.
So you're saying when you got into ministry in your church,
yes,
you did it in the kids' ministry and had to learn to explain things very simply.
Simply, I had to give them the time. I had to act like they're the most important thing in the world. I had to look them in the eye, speak very clearly and very simple. And that's kind of what I do. So I didn't realize that I was actually being trained for something later because that's what I was doing.
Well, your books are full of stories. You're an excellent storyteller. If you're ministering at a church or if you're ministering one-on-one, you tell stories. And one of the most interesting stories to me is about a famous football play. They called it The Catch. It was by David Tyree. And I know you know the story well. But that's how I first got to know you, is through that. A friend of mine from Jacksonville, who's also a friend of David Tyree, called me before the Super Bowl. I'm not a big football fan, but I usually watch the Super Bowl because it's a big thing. Yeah, in our culture, it's a big thing. And they said, there's been a prophecy that something's going to happen with David Tyree. This is before the game.
Yeah.
So I was watching the whole game thinking, is this it? There was some play early that it was pretty spectacular, but it wasn't the catch. So
he scored a touchdown.
Right.
David Tyree did, but that wasn't.
And, you know, from my perspective as a journalist covering the body of Christ, it is often difficult to verify when a prophecy really came true because it's often not documented ahead of time. But here, even though we weren't really documenting it, I was interested because, okay, I've heard this prophetic word. I'm not hearing about it later. I want to see if it comes true. And, of course, it did. So why don't you tell the story and maybe start at the beginning on David Tyree. How did you even get to know him to give him a prophetic word?
I had met his financial advisor at the time, and I started to do some work with him. So one day we went to David's house, and I didn't know who he was either at that time because he played for the New York Giants. I'm a New York Jets fan, so it wasn't like I knew any of the Giants players. So we went there, and, you know, he's sitting at the table with David, and he's like, this is what we're going to do financially. And by the way, this is Hubie. I was sitting in it off to the side. He goes, he's going to do your taxes.
And maybe I should explain to my viewers, because I know you pretty well. You're an accountant by training, and that's how you earn a living.
Yes.
And so you were being an accountant, and David Tyree was a client. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So went to the house, and he said, this Hubie's going to do your taxes. And then he's like, okay. And then we just left. I mean, the interaction was probably just a couple of minutes. I was sitting next to him, but he was so busy having a meeting with the financial advisor that he really didn't get to know me. So we went back to the office, and, you know, I started to pray for the man, which I didn't really know him. So I started to pray for him on and off for, I guess, about a few days. The Lord kept getting me up at night, making me restless. And I'm just like, I don't even know this man. So I don't understand. So then after a while, the Lord kind of impressed on me that I should call him. And I didn't really want to do that because, you know, I'm in a professional capacity and I didn't want to cross the line because I didn't know the effects of it or anything else. So the restlessness and the waking up at night got worse during the week. So finally I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I grabbed the Rolodex or his number off of the chart. And I figured I would call him on a Friday night because if anything blows up, I have the weekend that I can kind of handle this. Because at that time, that was my major job at the time. So Friday night came, I called him and it's ringing and I'm like, okay, well, I don't have to do anything to worry about. He's not answering the phone. And a few rings later, he answered the phone. And he said, this is David. And I froze. I didn't really know what to do because I was like stumbling. And, you know, the way my gift works is it just starts to come out. So he was like, hello, hello. And I was like, oh, this is Hubie. He's like, who? I go, Hubie, the accountant. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because now he's trying to remember. So he's like, yeah, what's up? And then it started, the prophecy just started to flow out. And so that went on for a little while. And then there was an eerie pause. Like he wasn't reacting and it's over a phone. So I don't know how he's taking this. I don't know what he believes or anything, which was frightening. And then he said, oh, okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things that you said in there about, you know, my wife and I were discussing and things like that. So we should really get to know each other. That was the phone call.
So let me help you with the story a little bit, because okay. we actually published David's story in a book called More Than a Catch. And you prophesied that God, that something was going to happen supernaturally that was going to give him a platform. Mm-hmm. To share the gospel, and this is something that he and his wife had been praying for. So, you know, I know from personal experience that when you're really seeking God and you don't really know the answer and you get a confirmation like that, it's extremely encouraging. So I can see how he'd been encouraged, and then you met with him later, I guess, and gave him more details. And then during the game, this big game, they call it The Catch. You know, some people have said it's the most famous catch in history because he actually caught the ball on his helmet.
Yes.
It was against his helmet, and he put his hand on it and kept it from falling, which I guess would be, what do they call that, an incomplete?
Yes.
You know, but it was what caused the Giants to win the Super Bowl, really against all odds. I think they were the underdog, weren't they?
They were the underdog because the Patriots were undefeated. But what I always like to add to it is that when I called him, it was October. It was way months before the Super Bowl, and he wasn't playing. He was actually injured, and he wasn't sure when he was going to be back on the field. So God told him when he wasn't even playing, didn't know if he'd come back, that all this was going to happen, and he wasn't even playing in the game. He wasn't eligible. So, and God took that and it was unlikely that the Giants were even going to make the Super Bowl, and they went on a run that I think it's one of the few in history that somebody has made so many wins to get all the way to the Super Bowl. So there was a lot to unpack from it.
And I remember watching the game and, of course, seeing the catch. Afterwards, of course, we wanted to do a story in Charisma, which we did. We were able to track you down and track down David Tyree and do an article. And I had the opportunity to meet you. I was curious by this point. And we met in New York City when I was up there on business. Yep. I can remember we sat and had coffee and talked and kind of formed a friendship that a year or so later, maybe not even that long, you were flying and changing planes in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you had a chance encounter that I've written about, you've written about it, Jonathan Kahn has written about it. It had to do with Jonathan Kahn, and he was also grappling with something and asking God to give him some answers, and then he ran into you. Tell us that story.
Okay, my flight was supposed to leave on a Friday night, and we had a terrible storm called a nor'easter, and they kept bumping my flight later and later until finally they wanted me to fly out late at night, and there would be no connection in Charlotte. So I said, why stay in the airport overnight? So I took the next flight early the next morning. And little did I realize that Jonathan was on that flight. So we flew into Charlotte, and the Lord kind of maneuvered both of us to kind of sit next to each other. So as we sat next to each other, I didn't know him, he didn't know me. The Lord's telling me I have to speak to this man who's...
So let me help out again.
Okay.
I've told this story myself. Okay. I know it's your story.
That's fine.
But you were in the waiting area waiting to get on the flight. Lots of people around. And you have this gift, and often the Lord will cause you to minister to a complete stranger.
Yes.
And you were asking the Lord, Lord, is there someone you want me to speak to? Am I getting that right?
Actually, I was not looking to pray for anybody. I just wanted to be alone. But when the gift starts stirring, it's kind of like, well, what do you want me to do? So that's kind of what happened.
So meanwhile, Jonathan Kahn, who is a Messianic rabbi from New Jersey, ends up not being that far, an hour or so from where you live. Mm-hmm. He was flying to Dallas to a speaking engagement, changed planes in Charlotte, which is a very common place to change planes, and was praying about something, and he hadn't really been able to focus on it, and just decided that he was going to spend the time as much as he was able to while he was alone traveling to just pray and seek the Lord and to think about this decision he had to make. And then he ran into you. So you pick up the story.
Okay, so I'm just sitting down. I found a seat that was near the windows. And I'm sitting down and, you know, my gift starts to stir. And the Lord starts speaking to me and he says, you know, look at the person to the right. So I look over and I see a rabbi. And I'm thinking something's wrong.
So he's got a full beard. He's dressed in black.
And I'm like, something's wrong. And then the Lord just kept kind of, you know, my gift, the way it works, it starts to bubble. So it starts to bubble, and I look over, and I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to understand why I am looking at this messianic rabbi. Well, I didn't know it was messianic, but he was a rabbi. And I was like, something's wrong because, you know, they're waiting for the Lord to come. I know he's come already, so what am I going to talk to this person about? So all these questions were filling my head. And then I look over a few times, and Jonathan's praying. He is reading scripture, but it's Proverbs, the Old Testament. So nothing really made sense. So finally I said, you know what? Let me just test it out. So I put my arm on there was like a middle chair that was kind of broken. So I put my arm over there, and I'm just looking at him. I didn't say anything. I'm just kind of staring at the side of him. So he turns around, he looks at me, and he goes, you know, yes. And I said, you know, I said, what's the good word? Because I couldn't think of anything else to say. And it kind of stunned me that he turned around and just looked at me, and it caught me off guard. So when I said, what's the good word? He turns and says, God loves you. And I was like, okay, well, I kind of know that. So, you know, and then we just kind of started to chit chat.
But you also realized pretty quickly that he was a believer.
Yes, as we started to speak, he told me that he was one of he had a radio program, The Two Nice Jewish Boys. And I used to listen to that many years ago. So I said, oh, okay, yeah, I used to listen to that. And he's like, well, what happened? I was like, well, I stopped listening to it, sorry. So we kind of just had a small conversation, and then they called us for the flight. And so I was like, nice talking to you. And then, because the gift didn't start yet. And then right when Jonathan was ready to get up, all of a sudden it just happened. And I was like, you can't get up yet. And he was like, no. And I went, no. I said, you know, you need to sit down. I need to tell you something. So he sat down, and then the prophecy just started to flow.
And the prophecy was what?
Basically that what he has written, God gave it to him. And that God was going to use it to change many things, or change things about the government, or something like that. I don't remember all of it, but it was kind of like he was going to use this, and it was God. It's going to do well. It spoke about his wife. There was something about children, just things about him and his ministry, things like that. So,
well, again, I know the story pretty well.
There you go.
And here he was, a messianic rabbi. He has what some have said is the largest messianic synagogue or congregation in the country. So mm-hmm. he's been successful. He was on the radio, but he'd never written a book.
Right.
But he had written this book. In fact, he'd written it once and then rewrote it. And he had some friends that were encouraging him to get it published, but they were encouraging him in ways that he was uncomfortable for some reason. And he felt he needed to know what God's will was. And so he was asking what God's will was, and you told him, or the Lord showed you, I guess, your word of wisdom, that he had a book that would touch the nations or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Well, that got his attention.
Yes, and I think that while this is going on, he was going to see a literary agent, and the literary agent wanted to highlight him. And he didn't feel comfortable with that, which says a lot about his character. So he said, no, I don't want to highlight myself. I want to highlight the book and what God is saying in it. So that's part of the conflict that he was having that he shared with me.
And somehow in the conversation, I'm not even sure how, maybe I'll learn something. You said, I guess maybe toward the end of your conversation, because didn't you sit next to each other on the airplane and kind of continue talking?
Well, I was on the air, in the airplane. He was in a different section. So he said, I'm going to come back and find you. And then you need to tell me again, because he didn't write it down. So he came up and he found me. We went to the back of the plane. We sat down. We started praying. It came back out. He took notes. And, you know, he was just kind of asking me questions about how I am. Have I done this before? And things like that, which kind of led it to the next step of, you know, what's eventually led to you.
And you did this in October, or this took place in October, didn't it?
I think it was October also. So I guess a lot of things happened in October.
But. So it was probably the following year, or maybe even a couple years later.
Yes.
Actually, it was a couple years later, because it was in 2000. Well, I know when it was. It was 2011.
Okay.
In January of 2011, you emailed me.
That was, yes. Our encounter was months before. And yes.
And you emailed me and said, I met this nice Jewish man who's on the radio, and he has a book that I don't remember what you said, although I actually saved a copy of the email. I think it's going to, you know, be a significant book, shake the world, some kind of superlative like that. And are you interested? And I emailed back and said, well, I think I need to know more than what you've said, but if you're interested, I'm interested.
Right. But I had never read the book. I had gone to his church, like after we met, we didn't think anything really of it. At least I didn't. And we used to go to his church all the time. And so one day he was there and he's like, you know, I didn't meet with a literary agent. I'm not sure what to do with this. Can you speak to Mr. Strang? And I wasn't comfortable doing that because I don't like to ask for favors. So I was like, should I not? And so after praying for it, the Lord told me that I could send you that email. That's why I sent it. And it was very simple. You know, I told
That's
you
why what, I, there wasn't much detail. In
right.
It.
I told you what happened at the airport. I said, there could be something to this. Can you, you know, just look into it? That's all.
And of course, for those who maybe don't know or haven't figured it out yet, that book was The Harbinger.
Right.
It came out almost exactly a year later in January of 2012. And it was what God was saying to America through 9/11 and comparing it to how he was warning ancient Israel and how God is warning America today. The book, we've said this publicly, the book and a couple of small derivatives, a Bible study guide and that kind of thing, has sold 2 million copies, biggest book we've ever had. And then it spawned all of his other books. He's had 8 books in a row in the New York Times bestseller. None of them as big as The Harbinger itself, although I will say that the new one called The Dragon's Prophecy, which is coming out, for those who are seeing, some people will see this podcast later, but it's coming out the day after Labor Day in 2024. And it is a very powerful book. In fact, I'll be doing some podcasts with Jonathan Kahn about it. But that was a very impactful conversation you had in the airport. And thank you for following up. I had not met, even though I've met many, many, many people in my course of my career, I had never met Jonathan Kahn, or if I did, I met him in passing. We figured out we were both at a conference together a number of years ago, but I have no recollection of meeting him.
Okay.
And in publishing, of course, we're always reaching out, looking for authors who have something to say. And then also people are all the time giving us suggestions. I mean, yesterday I visited a church and I had 2 people come up and want me to publish their books.
Yes, I'm sure. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to email you, because I was like, he gets it all the time.
All the time.
So.
But, you know, what is the old saying? You swallow the fish and spit out the bones,
yeah.
You know? So,
but I think you were drawn to it because I told you what happened at the airport.
Right.
And so that
it seemed like there was something with, and of course I have a lot of respect for you.
Yeah.
So let's speed up the story a little bit. Subsequent to that, we were interested in the tales of a wandering prophet, how God can use anyone for his purpose and glory. I love that subtitle. And Jonathan Kahn did a forward, and I can just tell you, as Jonathan Kahn's publisher, he doesn't do forwards for people.
Right.
Because he would get nothing else done. Everybody who publishes a book would want him to do a foreword. So it's a real tribute to you that he decided to make an exception to his own rule. And so that was a real honor.
But, a real honor.
But I can remember you'd never written a book either.
No.
And if I remember correctly, you kind of struggled to write this book.
I did. There was an original due date, and I remember going out on my porch with my computer all excited, ready to start writing, and then I would spend the whole day write a page, and I would read it, and I'd be like, I'm not getting anywhere. And it was frustrating because I figured, how hard could it be? And it's really hard. So then I struggled to get started because there were many ways I was trying to do it. And then Vicky, my wife, was like, you know, you got to get going. You got to, which added the pressure to it. Then some people from your company had called me. And so I felt all this pressure and I'm just like, nothing's flowing. And if it's not flowing, what am I going to do? So it took a few months. Then finally, it started to flow. So it taught my wife and I how to work it through. So we managed to start writing it, and then we figured out the process on how we could do it. So then it went much smoother.
And then because of that, the success of this book, and for a first-time author, it did well. You got endorsements from Sid Roth, Joni Lamb, and others. We did this follow-up. Lessons from a Wandering Prophet, Discover the Keys to Growing Your Call. And this forward is from Kathy Lee Gifford. Tell me how you even knew Kathy Lee Gifford.
Well, I got a Facebook message from a person named Squire Rushnell, which I had no idea who he was. He sent me a message and he said that he found a radio interview on the internet. And he wanted to interview me for his book. And then he put down that he's the author of the God Wings books, him and his wife. And so they wanted to speak to me, but it came in tax season. And I'm like, I have no time for this. So I kind of pushed it off. And the more I pushed it off, the Lord just wanted me to talk to them. So I set up a appointment and I spoke to them. And they're good friends with Kathy Lee. So I spoke to them and they were talking about putting me on and so on their book. And then we just became friends. And then one day they were at lunch, which I didn't know. And I never really watched much TV. So, I mean, I've heard of Kathy Lee, but I didn't really know much about her. I knew her from Name That Tune when I was a child. I used to watch that game show. That's what I knew it. So the Lord was kind of on me to get a message to her. And I was reluctant, kind of like the way I was reluctant to you to bring you the Harbinger, because I didn't want to ask for a favor. And I'm like, well, if the Lord's going to do it, he's going to open up the door. So I texted Squire and I said, can you ask her for her email? Because I need to tell her something. And he was like, well, you know, he speaks like, well, Hubie, it so happens we're having lunch with her right now. So now I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? He's like, send it to me and I'll give it to her. So I'm like all nervous and everything. I'm like typing it out on the phone and I'm texting it to him and I gave it to him and he showed her and then I don't hear anything back. So expecting the worst, which is kind of what I do, I'm like, I really messed up. I don't want them to look bad. And he goes, sorry, she was having a moment. She's never gotten one of these before. And it was very clear to her what it meant. And he said that, you know, meaning she had a moment, she was getting emotional over it. So she wanted to know who I was. So he gave her my number. And probably about a week later, Vicky and I, she invited us to her house in Connecticut. So Vicky and I went. And we walked in and she ran up to me and she gave me a hug. And she said, I'm so honored to meet you. And I was speechless. I was like, well, what do you mean honored to meet you? It's kind of the other way around. And so we just hung out for the day and we just chatted about scripture. We chatted about messianic things. We chatted. And so, you know, she's like a walking Bible concordance, an encyclopedia. So we were just trading scripture back and forth, just hanging out. And then she started to call me and we used to chat back and forth. And, you know, it was very special to find her as a friend because she was like, I'm praying for you. She would call me and just say, I'm praying for you, and hang up the phone. So, and then that kind of spawned our friendship.
Well, thank you for being with me today. I wanted to encourage people to get either of these or both of these books. They're both a very good read. And I'll be back in just a minute with some information on how you can get this, and also to encourage you to share this podcast with others. But Hubie Sin, thank you for writing these books. Thank you for being my guest today on The Strang Report.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for watching the podcast. And as I said just now, I want to encourage you to get both of these books. They're available most easily on Amazon.com, but you can also go to mycharismashop.com and get them. You need to share them with others, particularly if people want to be encouraged. Both of these books are very encouraging, and if you like a good story, they're full of stories, as you just heard on my podcast. If you like this kind of podcast, I encourage you to subscribe. Hit the little bell so that when you know when we're on live every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to tune in for the next Strang Report. Until then, God bless you.